Grace and peace be unto you from our God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ be to you. I want to share something with you, and you're not going to like it, but that's okay. I don't care. There are two times lay people really hate their pastor. When he has to preach about two things. I'll let you guess which one of those two things. What? No, not sins. Take that off the table. When the pastor has to talk about money. Huh? And tithing. And how much money you got in your billfold. And all that there kind of thing. They hate it. You know, when I used to preach on stewardship, thanksgiving. Because you're in a state of being thankful. And I would tell them about tithing. I'd tell them about God. I'd tell them about how... and they liked it. They accepted me. What's the other time they don't like to hear pastors preach? It's in your bulletin today. Go, therefore. You know what that means? Missions. People don't like to hear about missions. They don't want to hear about missions. And I'm here to tell you, you got to hear it. You got to hear it. Now, have you ever heard of apostolic succession? You know what that means? That means that every ordained minister, some way, could connect up with one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. And that's something that's called apostolic succession. That some way, if I could do that, find my lineage back to, for me, it'd probably be Judas. But anyway, one of the disciples. Now, I take great challenge about that apostolic succession. I take great concern about it. Because you know what? You're included in that. You really are. You are it. Now, I want to say something. Do you want a long sermon today? I'll preach a long sermon. I would ask each one of you to stand up and tell me how you became a Christian. What was the avenue that got you to go where you are right now? Everyone has it. Everyone has that pathway where they got here. Really, they really do. Everyone. I think that's apostolic succession. You know why? When our Lord was leaving this earth, guess what he said? Go into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Now, I'm going to say something that a lot of pastors aren't going to. I never refused anyone baptism. Carolyn, remember, we used to start the service off. Anybody here want to be baptized? Many times people raise up, come on up here. We got the water. You know, and one guy says, you know, I'm not going to join the church. It has nothing to do with that. I want you baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And I started all my services out with baptism. Another thing I'm giving you my, no one should be denied Holy Communion. And I'm going to prove it to you. I have, thank you very much. No one. Have you ever heard this? I've gone to many funerals, especially of my brothers and sisters of the Roman Catholic Church. I've heard from priests say these words. Only properly disposed Roman Catholics can come forth and receive communion. Now I want to say something. Would Jesus have said that at the First Supper? I'm just going to ask you. Would he say that? Absolutely not. Now I'm going to tell you something else about Jesus that you know. He knows everything. In the scriptures he said, there's going to be somebody that's going to betray me. Somebody's going to betray me. He knew that. And guess what he gave them? Communion. That's why when people say, you got to do this, you got to do that, forget about it. That holy meal is to the world. And if you want it, you get it. And anyone that says you can't, they're wrong. They're wrong. They're wrong scripturally. 100%. I remember one time I was at a funeral and the guy, the priest was there, he says, are you Catholic? I says, yes, of the Lutheran tradition. He did not like that. Of course he didn't. He was absolutely wrong and I was absolutely correct. I stand firm on the scripture. I even had a priest say that, you know, Pastor Francis, we think you waste the grace of God. And you know what I said to myself? I really believe he wasted it on me and you and the world too. But he loves us. He loves us so much he's willing to waste his grace upon us. Now, okay, let's get into this world, going into the world. I got several examples. And I'm going to give you an example that happened. Most of my sermons are from my congregation. Well, anyway, I became a pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, and this one woman came to me one time, and she said, my husband is in the hospital. Would you go see him? Of course I will. I loved hospital visitations. I always did. A lot of pastors don't, but I did. I never met this guy at all. He couldn't pick me out of a crowd of two, and neither could I pick him out of a crowd. I went in there. I introduced myself, and I told him, your wife sent me to you. She did? I said, yeah, she did. And then as we sat there, and funny thing, as I went into the room, his dear friend was going out of the room. And I became a good friend of that guy too. He had brought his friend an issue of Playboy magazine. And that was on the bed when I came in. So anyway, he tried to explain that. What the hell? You know, anyway, we started to talk, and then he got real serious. If you know what body language is all about, you get the message real quick. It was not a time for me to laugh, just to listen. And I listened to him. He says, you know what? Every Sunday, my wife gets up. She gets dressed. She gets my four kids dressed too. She walks out the door with my four kids, and she's never asked me once to go to church. Never has asked me once. And when she's gone, guess what I do, Pastor? I take up the Bible and I read it. I came from a non-biblical family. We didn't go to church. We didn't do anything. We didn't do anything like that. But just from her presence, I take up, and I would read the Bible. Then when I heard her car come up the driveway, I shut the Bible, turn on television. But she's never asked me to come with her. Immediately the Holy Spirit came upon me, and guess what I did? I said, I'm asking you. Will you come to church? Well, of course I will. I'm asking you. Don't say anybody else. You just tell the world, Pastor Francis asked you to come to church. He started to cry. I said, what's wrong? He says, I've never been baptized. I said, great! Wonderful! We'll baptize you there. You'll be a member of the church. And I'm going to tell you, that happened back in 1969. On Monday nights, tomorrow night, I'll be at Frankie's Pizzeria in Sarasota having supper with him. And after supper, he and his wife will take us back to their home up in Sarasota, and we'll play Euchre's till about 9 o'clock. He's still in my... When I retired back in 09, the church was all there, and of course a bunch of tears and all their stuff. His wife gets up and says to Carolyn and me, we were up at the head table, she said, Pastor Francis and Carolyn, don't you worry about your kids. We'll take care of them. Every breakfast my son has with her husband. He golfs with his son, Danny. And the families are really together. One time, we were up north, and this woman was going to have the new pastor and me meet at her house. And I said to her, I can't do it. And she said, why? And I said, I have an appointment, and I made a commitment with my daughter. And she came back, I'll talk to your daughter. She talked to my daughter. My daughter called me back and says, Dad, you're not coming. That's what asking is all about. And that guy became one of the best members I've ever done. That's when you go to people. Now, I'll tell you why you don't want to go. I got to tell you why you don't go. You know why? You don't want to be rejected. We don't like rejection, do we? I'm going to take that off the table. When you go in the name of Jesus Christ, they don't reject you. Guess who they reject? The Holy Spirit. You understand? You're the conveyor belt. You really are. Nobody can reject you. That's why you keep asking and telling and wanting, you know, really, all the time. I had a guy that never joined the church. One of those stubborn guys, you know, those guys that, you know, they could beat Satan up and win. Well, anyway, he was a smoker. And he had a twin brother. The twin brother did not smoke, but the one did. He was really wrong. And the parents tried to get him to stop. His brother tried to get him to stop. His friends tried to get him to stop. Then he fell in love with a woman. And guess what? They married. And the bride said to his father and mother, "When I get in his life, he will quit. I will make him quit." Guess what? She failed. 7 years later, he's still smoking. And this one day, his seven-year-old son climbed up in his lap and started to cry. Started to cry. And he said to his son, "What are you crying about?" And he told him this, that his very good friend's father died. And that guy was a smoker. And he said, "Daddy, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die." The guy got up, went in the kitchen, and took his cigarette pack, squished it out, threw it away. Now, this is a true story. He went and bought another pack of cigarettes and carried them with one in his ear for 2 years after that moment, never smoking. Never smoking. Why did he quit? Now, this is it. People, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, and the rest, asked him. But then there's that one person that asked him and convinced him. One day I was walking across the parking lot, the parsonage, parking lot, church. And guess what's coming over the house? A hot air balloon. Remember this, Mom? And I yell at them, "Do you guys go to church?" They say, "No, we don't. We should come here because we have the best sinners in the world here." Guess what? The next Sunday, they were in church. They were in church. They joined the church. They were in the choir. And he still calls me. I've been out of the ministry, out of that ministry for 14 years. He still calls me. He and his wife divorced. Those things happen. And he fell in love with another woman. Carol, remember you and I, we went out to socialize them with them, you know, over the head. And can I talk about my mother? Our house was here. The Nymans were here. The Joas were here. And then the Peskys were here. One night, Paul Pesky comes home, and he's so happy. He had just come from the doctor. Doctor says, "You're good health." He had a heart attack that night and died. Just like that. So Blanche is all alone. They had the best yard in the neighborhood. Ours was the worst. Blanche was crying to my mother about who's going to cut the grass. Guess who my mother volunteered? Me. Now, guess what? Paul would cut the grass with the scissors. I use one of those little like that. Because Paul did it that way, guess what I had to do? The scissors. I hated it. And then, "Donnie, don't you ever take any money from Blanche." Never did it. So then, it was always 2 yards. My mom would be hanging out the clothes on Saturday night. She'd be like, "Blanche, we're going to church. 7:45, we'll pick you up." I don't think she liked going to church. Not too much. So my brother would drive the car. I'd be in the front seat. My mom in the back seat. Blanche would get in the right. Well, I would go. Blah, blah, blah. She did that for years. And guess what happened to Blanche? She fell in love with a guy that had never been married. Never been married. And these people, I'm sure they had to be in their 60s. I'm going to say 60s. This is going back. I don't know. But they were 60s. And he asked her to marry him. And she said, "I'll do it on one condition. You know what the condition was? If you join the church. If you join the church. He says, I've never been baptized. Join the church, get baptized. And this is what happened. Several years later, Blanche died. And Frank continued on with that church. He went to the men's organization. He was really involved with it. When he died, he left that house to the church. Isn't that something? They had no kids. I think he had some nieces or nephews on that there. But he left that whole church to that there. I have another example. I got time to do the sample. There was this woman. I think in my ministry, she was the most abused wife ever. I don't think he ever called his wife by honey or love or anything like. It was the words that you use for a prostitute. And I won't tell you because I've heard them many times. And I want you to know, he hated me. And I love people that hate me for Jesus' sake. I just love them. I just love them. Well, anyway, she had no money at all. He wouldn't give her any money. No money at all. And one time, she was out with her sister, and she found a quarter, and she couldn't wait to get to church the next Sunday to put that quarter in the collection plate. She was that. I remember going to see them. I got to baptize one of their kids, and I baptized the second one, but he had told me not to baptize it. That's a whole new story. But I would go and see her. On occasion, she loved the Lord. She came from the Baptist church, I think, but she loved the Lord. When she missed communion, I'd go and give her communion. And I'd try and be there when he was at work. But sometimes he'd come home. And I remember one time he parked his truck right behind my car. And I asked him to move. He says, I'm not moving my car. He says, there's a way out behind the barn. And I remember when I got home, my whole car was filled with mud from one end and the whole bottom. I can remember taking the garden hose up and cleaning my car up. And I said, oh, he got me, but someday that'll happen. Well, anyway, the relationship kept on going, and he was just abusive to her. And there was an age difference between, I think there was 17 years difference between the two of them. Well, anyway, one day I'm in my office, and the phone rings, and it's her. And she says to me, she says, Pastor, are you sitting down? I says, well, yeah, I'm in my office. She says, he's in the hospital. And he asked me if you would come and see him. I said, what? He wants to see you. I'm coming. I hung up the phone. I can be in Mercy Hospital in 25 minutes. And I walked into that room, and his hands is under the sheet. And I never, ever heard him say these words to his wife. Honey, will you excuse me and Pastor? I want to talk to him privately. I thought, this guy's going to kill me. He's got a gun underneath the bed. Honest, I actually thought that. I said, well, all the other disciples were martyred. What's wrong with me? Okay, she gets up. She winks to me and goes out, and I'm sweating. He says, come and sit down. And I'm sitting next to his bed, and he's got his hand there. And he looks at me and he says, I was brought up in the church. He says, I don't know what in the hell God happened to me, but I went off the beaten path. I hate myself for what I've done all my life. And he said to me, do you think Jesus could forgive me? Guess what my answer was? Of course. Is there any sinner that's ever been turned away from Jesus Christ? Never. Never. He's batting 100 right off the bat. Never. And then he said something to me that was so unique. It's written in my heart. I'm using it as a sermon today. He started to cry. He knew he was on his deathbed. I buried him about 10 days after that happened. He knew he was at the end of his life. And he grabbed my hands and he says to me, Pastor, you got to promise me something. You. Are you kidding? I'm supposed to promise you your past is, you know, where you want me to go and do what you've done all your life incorrectly? And I said, yes. I said, whatever you promise, whatever you want me to promise, I'll do it. And he took these hands of mine and put them in his and shook them. He says, please, Pastor, don't give up on people like me. And he shook my hand. Do you promise me? He says, I've been cruel to you. I said, yeah, so what? You know, no. And then he brought up this thing where I had to pull my car around the barn and get out. I said, yeah, I remember that. Because I like my car clean all the time. That's another thing. Well, anyway, he said these words, don't give up on people like me. I'm going to say something to all of you. You have those people in your life right now. You have those people in your life. And I'll tell you why. Because the Holy Spirit says to you, don't give up on them. Don't give up. Where do we get our strength from? You know the Bible. Remember that sower, the seed? Remember that? I love that. I love that parable so good. The sower goes out and he throws the seed. And some goes on rock. There's no possibility of anything happening. But he sowed the seed anyway. Some goes amongst the thistles. That means your kid's got his hockey practice on Sunday morning. That's what thistle says. And then some on the pathway. Those are the people that come in the church and go out as fast as they do. Come in and go. Exit. But then, guess what? The seed falls on somebody's heart. That's what you and I are. We are the sow seers. We don't have to worry about germination at all. Not at all. Do you know why you're here today? I'm going to prove something to you. Nobody can come through that door, praising the Lord, without the Holy Spirit in them. Do you know that? That's it. You don't come because you want to. You are here because the Holy Spirit has fed you to come. Do you understand that? That's the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Get used to it. That's the simple thing. So we're in this world for one thing, to take this gospel to Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to share another thing. This sermon is pretty darn long. If somebody comes into our congregation, statistics reveal that we've got 72 hours to greet them after they leave this thing. I'm going to tell you about a family. When I left St. Paul's, they didn't like the pastor that followed me. They went to St. John's Lutheran Church in Orchard Park, which is 8 miles down the road from where ours was. They went one Sunday. That same Sunday, they're at home. And they kind of like lived out in a cow pasture. They had no mailbox because they always got their mail at the deal. So you couldn't find their address. These people had to look. And then you go up the address and there was two homes, one to the left, one to the right. They were to the right. They went to the wrong house. They got noticed. These people showed up about 2 o'clock in the afternoon with a loaf of bread, thanking them for being at the worship. They asked them to come. Nope. We just want you to know our congregation was so happy that you came. That same day, they have a mission team. That mission team wrote them a letter. They got that letter that week from a mission team saying the church is in the work of salvation and all that stuff. And then the pastor wrote them a personalized letter signing his name and sent it to them too. These people were members of St. Paul's almost all my ministry. They did everything. She was the treasurer of the congregation. She'd give me 12 blank checks. And I could use that money to buy things for the church. And I'd give it to her. She said, you saved me so much time and energy. We were like that. They quit St. Paul's and are still there at St. John's this day. Her husband died, was buried there. I married one of the sons. The other son was there. All her grandchildren have been baptized at St. John's now. You have power. Every single one of you. The Holy Spirit doesn't come upon you so that you're a sieve and you go out one way. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be rejected. People aren't going to accept you the way you are. Remember, it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit. I got one little thing about a playmate of mine. Johnny Hochschild. I hadn't seen him for about 40 years, and he found me on the internet. Lived up in Minnesota. And he said, can I come and see you? Sure, come on down. We're at our table. My wife made a beautiful supper for me and his wife and him. And he grabs my hand, and he says, you know, Don, I always thought that priests and the pastors were very holy until you became one. I consider that a compliment. He remembers that. Remember that. I told you my sermon is to go. Somebody in your life needs to hear about Jesus Christ. Pray about it. Just pray about it. The opportunity will come. And I'll tell you, the hardest people to get to come to the church is your relatives. They are. They are. I got relatives that still don't believe I'm a pastor. I think they don't go to church just because they want to shove it in my face. I'm being nice. But anyway, every one of us, the Lord is counting on you to do his work in this world. And you will never, ever regret it. You know what I regret the most in my life? Growing old. Yeah, yeah. I took Geritol for many years to slow down the process. I should have had a Miller Lite. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now what do we do?